Om Shanti. I would like to welcome Sri Jayanti to join with us. And on behalf of everyone, I would like to welcome her. And I don't mind saying that, you know, her schedule is so tight. It's like one of the country leader. And I really admire and appreciate her Atak Sevadaris. Atak is tireless serving. And I think for us to really follow her in her footstep in that way. And she's beautifully bridged the gap between West and East. And today, the topic we are exploring with her is bridging the gap between where we are and being a complete bestower. So she's going to share for 30 minutes, and later Sasha from Russia, he's been in Gyan for 40 plus years. He's going to interview Sister Jayanti on this topic. Warm welcome. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Om Shanti. This morning I saw some of you in class, but now I am seeing those who've come from Pandupavan also. And so lovely to see you all. There was one particular sentence that Baba spoke a few Muralis ago, which has stayed in my mind. And I'll share with you the Hindi words, Sochta Swarup, thinking about something, being the embodiment of thought. And what Baba wants us to become is Anubhav Swarup, to be the embodiment of experience. And I think that maybe this in a way summarizes where we are and where we would like to be, to become Bab Suman or to be unlimited benefactors, because we think about many, many aspects of Gyan, which is wonderful. At least then I'm not thinking about humans or things out there, but my churning of Gyan is going to help my intellect become clean and clear, which is a very powerful foundation for any effort. And so churning of Gyan is excellent, but not to let it stay there, but to actually practice the things that Baba's teaching us so that it becomes part of my experience. But one particular thing I learned this year, which was actually very powerful, was something from Dadi Ratan Mohini's class, a class she'd taken some years earlier. And it was on the subject of soul consciousness. Did many of you know that Daddy's favorite topic was always soul consciousness? Yes? She would describe it beautifully, and she would say that her journey began with that understanding and experience. And she was 11 years old when she came with her mother and sister, but she was the motivating force for the surrender. And she said, just imagine, at that age, you want to be with your parents all the time, and yet Baba made us practice soul consciousness in such a powerful way that we actually felt detached, not just from our body, but from everybody else around us. And it was truly not a physical birth, but a spiritual rebirth, in which on a physical level all the lokics were left behind physically, and we were able to just experience Baba and Mama as the mother and father. And so that's her practical experiment with soul consciousness. And so today, if there's a difference between what I know I can be, but what I am at the moment, the first and most powerful aspect to practice is soul consciousness. And it's first day's lesson, but according to drama, it's also the last lesson. In the final moments, can I detach from my body like this? How long does it take to snap your fingers? Not even a second. So it's not even a question of a second, but just come back here and be able to let go of everything here, everything, and fly to Baba. So my preparation has to be for that moment, because if at that moment my intellect is pulled here or there, good or bad, whatever it may be, then I'm going to get stuck. I won't be able to fly, and neither will I be able to catch Baba's signals. And so my practice of soul consciousness is absolutely the foundation for everything. And within that, the sentence that had really caught my attention was where she said, to think I am a soul is still body conscious. And when I reflected on it, I said, yes, of course. Because when I'm thinking, it's my brain, and my brain is very much part of my physiology. And so at that moment, my brain is thinking I'm a soul, but at that moment, I'm not soul conscious. I am in that awareness of still this. And so thinking I'm a soul is important. It's the first step. But can I go deeper and deeper within myself to come to the experience of that total silent space inside in which I can feel that I'm a soul? And if you've done that once, the experience is such a sweet and powerful one, you can keep repeating it for yourself again and again. So that stage of soul consciousness, so that it doesn't take me a few moments, but I see, I hear, but I'm able to go inside immediately and come to that experience of being a soul. And so the more I practice this, the easier it becomes. And the second thing to practice, how long does it take me to put a full stop to something of the past? 10 years? Sometimes we don't let go of things and don't forget what somebody has said 10 years ago. Now just imagine this tiny little soul, and not only am I carrying the full record of all my births, huge amount of information, but just in this one birth, how many things of the past am I carrying in here which are a total waste? Every time I think of them, or every time something happens that triggers the memory, those thoughts come back, those feelings come back. And if it's a beautiful experience, wonderful, keep repeating it and reawaken that feeling and that joy and that intoxication. But if it's anything negative and I keep doing that, I'm just adding to my burden more and more. Not only am I wasting my time, my thoughts, my energies, all the treasures of Sangam Yuga, but also I'm creating that imprint on a deeper and deeper level. When a child falls and the mother picks it up and gives it a hug and says, okay, I'll kiss it better, how long does it take the child to forget? It's gone. You see the child smile within a moment. But if there are things that happen and the imprint is like writing on stone, and every time I emerge it, that engraving on stone gets deeper and deeper. And so literally, when I feel heavy, and Baba's often been talking about lightness recently, so every time I feel heavy, it's because I'm filling my intellect, this tiny little space that I have, with things that are not useful, sometimes highly toxic, but at the best, they're not useful. But when they're toxic, then of course they're impacting my total behavior today, but also the atmosphere, and also, in fact, the body itself. There's a lot of evidence that we have about this too, through medical research. So, when things happen, can I practice what Baba has said about putting a full stop? And the full stop is real. It's not like Baba said, you're a bit shaky, and so when your hand shakes, it's not a full stop. It becomes a query, it becomes a question. Or even if it becomes an exclamation mark, and I'm shocked. Big difference between really putting a full stop and not allowing it to come back into my awareness. And so, if there's something that I keep repeating in my mind, and worse still, repeating it in words to others, then that imprint is going to be so deep that in my final moments, that imprint is what's going to pull me. But to be able to put a full stop needs practice. And so can I check myself? How many things of the past am I still carrying? And can I start deleting them one by one by one? It would be great to say just keep the button pushed and it'll all get deleted. But it's different situations, different feelings, different people, different everything. And so it's there in a big way. And it's being added all the time. And so I need to delete all the things from the past. But also I need to make sure that I don't add on anything further. If I can practice putting a full stop quickly and making it effective, that's going to save me a huge amount of time and energy that I can then devote to doing good things. Baba's often been felt there's a whole month about Mansa Seva, but also all the avyakt signals are somehow related to yoga in a way. But especially the month before where Baba was talking a lot about being lost in love. And today Baba's lovely definition, hugging is not a physical thing. To be lost in Baba's arms isn't a physical experience, but it's the experience that I'm sure many of you have had already. It's the experience of being merged in Baba's love, to such an extent that you're totally unaware of the world out there. It's not useful. What is useful is just to keep alive that experience. So can I keep practicing putting a full stop so that I can go back again and again into that experience of the ocean of love and being merged in that ocean? And everybody's experience that when things are challenging, then it's Baba's love that carries you through. Yes, you're using jnana and you're telling yourself stop the if and why and but. The things still keep coming up. But the more I stay lost, immersed in that love, then I say, well, this is what Sangam Yuga is all about. Sangam Yoga isn't about somebody else's behavior. It's not about somebody else's stage. That's their concern, not mine. My concern is my stage. At one point, Avyakt Bab Dada had asked the question, way back, what is it that Brahma Baba loved the most? And all of us thought that the answer was going to be Baba. The answer wasn't that. It's very different. The answer was, Brahma Baba loved his stage. Makes sense, right? If I make sure I keep my stage the way it should be, clean and pure and flying and light and easy, then it's very simple to be with Baba all the time. And if things are getting me down and my stage is getting heavier and heavier, and it shows on my face, it shows in my interaction with others, it creates a cloud, a shadow around me that touches others also. But equally, the stage of being light and easy, can I keep that stage, having had that experience of being lost and merged in Baba's love? Can I keep that stage through the day? Yes, there's a lot of things to be done. And Sangam Yug, you don't just have to look after yourself. You also have to go to work. You also have to do service. You have to think about flockic family. You have to think about relationships at the center. It's a lot that's going on in Sangam Yug. But if I stay light, I'll deal with each thing as it comes. I won't invoke trouble. And if trouble does come, because I'm light, I can deal with it more easily. But sometimes we invoke trouble. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it'll... And so even before the situation actually arises, I've generated a lot of waste energy. And maybe it's my thoughts that have made that situation happen the way it is. And so can I not invoke trouble? Can I use Gyan at that time to say, let me focus on the present. Let me do what I need to do now. And yes, when I need to plan, even that, if I stay light and plan, not negative eventualities, but planning in a practical way, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do the other. But if my mind is clear and light and easy, then the plan is more likely to be accurate and therefore successful. And if I'm getting heavy and generating all sorts of waste, but maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other, then I'm going to get so heavy and I'm going to invoke that trouble. And so these three practices are absolutely vital. Going deep into the self and finding that feeling, that experience of the soul, being able to put a full stop to anything, even good. The Dadis never spoke about the service they did. Others spoke about it. Think about it. Dadi Janki? Yes, there might have been an encounter that she was touched by, so she would talk about that. But she wouldn't talk about it in terms of achievements in any way. And so even the past, good things, but can I put a full stop? But yes, the memories of Sakar Baba, those she kept alive by emerging them in her consciousness again and again. And that's how she coped with illness. When there was illness, she'd say, just leave me alone. And she would spend time in silence, emerging those stories of Baba. And because she did this regularly for herself, when she spoke about those stories to us at that time, 60 years prior, they'd still be so fresh. And she'd give us the feeling as if we were there with her as those things happened. So emerging the good things, not achievements in service, but things that uplifted you. The times that you had special drishti, whether it was Avyakt Bab Dada, Dadi Gulzar, Dadi Janke, Dadi Prakashmani, so many different experiences that this gathering has been through. And so emerge those and the feelings that they created in you. And those feelings can be emerged again and again, and they'll help. So putting a full stop to whatever is negative and wasteful. And the third, experience being lost in love. And everything changes dramatically because my intellect, my perception is different. recently I was in Costa Rica, and it was a gathering of powerful individuals. But the woman who'd invited me, she wasn't there. So I was surprised, and I asked, "Where is she?" And they said she'd had a fall. And this woman has been a good friend of the BK since the 80s. And today I'd say she is a BK herself. It was a slow journey, but the friendship led to closer and closer interaction and a huge amount of support for Baba through all the service projects we've had. And she's 90 now. So she was unwell, generally fragile. But when she had the fall, can you imagine in 90 and you fall? So much can go wrong. And after that, sometimes I've seen people totally immobile, in a wheelchair then for the rest of their life. But after, as soon as the program finished, it was a 2-hour trek to get to her, but we took the journey and went to see her. And to my surprise, she had a big, beautiful smile and was sparkling. And yes, she was carrying a stick and she was needing help and support, but her face gave no indication that there was anything wrong with the body. So once she'd settled down comfortably, I said to her, "We missed you." And she said, "But I didn't miss you." And what I thought is that, and she uses the word Baba, she said, "I thought to myself, why is Baba keeping me away from the program?" And I smiled and I said, "Baba, you know what you need from me. You don't need me to be running around anymore. There are many young ones who can do that. You need me to be doing Mansa Seva." So while you were all talking and enjoying and whatever, I was doing Mansa Seva so that the program should be very successful. And it was more than could have been expected. It was highly, highly successful. Now here's a woman who's reading Muralis now and has had a long association with Baba and BKs. At age 90, she's reminding us of Mansa Seva. And it was so beautiful to observe how something that could have turned her mind and made her feel very depressed. I worked so hard to make this happen and it's happening now and I'm not, the sort of thoughts that can go on. So what sort of face would she have had? She would have been pretty down and we would have had to work hard to uplift her. But instead of that, she was sparkling. Change of perception. So can I do that instantly? When something is happening, can I change my perception of what's going on and be with Baba and maybe ask myself the question, how would Baba see this? What does Baba want from me now? And you will change and the situation will change and it'll help others too. And so, yes, I'm sure that success was destined in the drama. But even when something's destined, you still have to make it happen. This is the quirk of drama, knowing that drama is accurate and knowing that you have to make that accurate happen again. And so here we are thinking about, well, how much time do we have? We don't have that much time. And so is it possible for me to achieve the stage that Baba would like me to have, that I would like to have, to be so full that I don't need anyone or anything except Baba? Daddy used to love this song, and it's a song about the three jewels that I love. Baba, Murli, Madhuban. Sakhiri mene payo, teen ratan. My friend, I found three jewels, Baba, Murli and Madhuban. And even Madhuban is not just a physical thing. Madhuban is the memories I carry in my mind. And again, Murali is not just the paper that I read. It's the things I've taken from God's versions that I keep in my heart and my head. And Baba, of course. Baba says I'm with you, but do I feel Baba's presence with me? And so that one sentence from that Murali of, don't just be the embodiment of thinking, be the embodiment of experience. And that really has been such a trigger for my own inner work when I read that just some weeks ago, I think, maybe a few months ago. And so Baba teaches us very simple things. Why? Because Baba knows we are exhausted. After the journey through the Copper Age and the Iron Age, and especially the last period of the Iron Age, we don't have any energy left. And it's so visible in what's going on in the world today. People don't have that inner strength, that inner energy anymore at all, which is why all the values fall apart and everything breaks down. But Baba comes to recharge the soul completely, renew the soul completely. And so Baba teaches us simple methods that we just have to work on them, apply them, remember them. That's it. And definitely, when I'm feeling full because I've taken everything that Baba wants to give me, then automatically you're able to give. Devta, this word in Hindi, deity. Devta, dene vala. And just at Diwali time, we had the little Deepaks, and it was diya. And so the giver, the donor, the one who's able to give, different to I want, I want, I want. And when you're in the wanting stage, then it's a problem. But when you're in the giving stage, give, 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 you're able to fly. Om Shanti.